Welcome to Happy Hour, the definitive Seventh Heaven walkthrough. I'm your host, Morgan, with my good friend and neighbor, Greg.
Welcome all.
Welcome all to Season 4, Episode 6. Now, before we start the show, you might be wondering what happened to Season 4, Episode 5, the first one we've ever not done, and also why we've been gone for a month. We had some extreme technical difficulties, a lot of stuff going on in our lives,
unplanned trips.
Greg had to go to the ER because his face was swollen.
It wasn't the ER, it was urgent care.
There's a lot going on, all right, guys? So, sorry that we've been away. You are hopefully now noticing that our sound quality is a little better than it's been in the past. We recorded Season 4, Episode 5, which is an episode we really didn't like and would not recommend watching. Recorded the whole episode and then realized that there was a fatal flaw in the recording and basically all of it was lost.
Yeah,
and we didn't want to do it again because we hated that episode.
So. Unlistenable.
Just trust us. It's not a good episode. And if you really want to know what we think about it, maybe in like a million years when we have an advertiser, we'll have a like Patreon page where you can hear the secret lost unlistenable episode.
Wait, do we need an advertiser to have a Patreon page?
Isn't the Patreon page the opposite
of having an advertiser?
You have to have enough listeners to make having a Patreon page like profitable.
You just need to pay for having the Patreon page?
No, it's just like, you put work into the Patreon page, and if you don't have enough listeners to begin with that would subscribe to it, then it's kind of...
Well, the work is the things that people get for being patrons, right?
Yeah. And, you know, setting up and... I mean, you probably do have to give some kind of fee to the site. I'm not sure. Anyway, this is a really boring conversation. But it's time to do our normal top of the show stuff. So I haven't checked the reviews recently, but if you've been liking the show, enjoying the show, make sure you give it 5 stars and write a review on iTunes. It helps more people discover the show, which is good.
Yeah, we have no mail.
Yeah, okay. No mail besides me using our email to sign up for YouTube TV to watch soccer and then
cancel it. Yeah, I've seen that.
Those demos, man. You gotta get those free demos. And also, you can write us a letter at happyhour7@gmail.com. Happyhour, the number 7, the letters TH, at gmail.com, if you would so choose, and then we might read it on the air. Other things that are happening. The weather is nice in our nation's capital. It is mid-80s. It is sunny. It is a bit muggy, but that's how it is here. We're living in the swamp, you know,
as politicians say.
Yeah. It's been really nice. We can go outside all the time, and everyone's happy, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, last night I went to, we have this Union Market, which is like a, you know, most cities have it now. It's like a Reading Terminal style, like food stall situation with patios and stuff. Everyone was all happy there. And then I went to a concert and they had like an outdoor patio there and everyone was so happy. And the sunset was nice. The weather was nice. And then last weekend I was on patios. We've been on patios a lot. patio. At least me personally. How about yourself?
Well, I was with you and Rebecca and Tina on that patio. Kind of. And are you asking me about patios specifically? Or
yeah, I mean, have you been on patios nonstop like me? I've been on a patio or a rooftop like every waking hour. I'm not working almost.
No, because a lot of what like me and Tina have been doing like trivia, and that's usually inside and stuff. Or we've been cooking, so that's inside too. No, not really.
We'll work on it. We should go to Lyman soon. Well, I'm very excited because my favorite soccer team, Everton, is saved and will continue to be in the Premier League that happened yesterday. Man, it's been a roller coaster. Only some would understand the amount of nonsense that's happened this season. We're safe now. And last weekend, I just partied on patios. The week before that, I went to Charleston to help my mom. So I was just on a train for 11.5 hours both ways because it was delayed. Oof. I've become an expert train rider. I've just learned from the Zen masters, which are the like southern aunties that ride the train, who are like, you know, all the like 70-year-old women on the train.
Seeing their grandkids.
Yeah, like the woman I sat next to was like, my granddaughter's graduating and I'm just coming back, and she told me about all the restaurants she went to. They're such sweeties. but they know how to do a long train ride, these grandmas.
Like how?
Like they like come equipped with many good snacks, and they've got their headrests, and they've got like everything you could ever need in their giant tote bags.
Booze?
Some of them, sure, yeah, but I usually don't try to drink too much booze, because then you have to get up and pee a lot if you're on the inside seat. That's just annoying, you know.
Yeah, what else am I doing?
All right, well, that's our news. Moving on.
Yeah, everything else is a little too personal, I don't know.
Okay. So let's get into this week's episode, which is episode 6.
Oh, my dryer is broken. That's the thing.
Okay. Greg's dryer is broken. Let it be known for the record.
We're getting a new dryer.
All right. Sounds like a 7-pound plow right there. Okay. So, this is a bit of an oddball episode. It starts out with a very typical Ruthie plot, which is that Ruthie meets a cute orange tabby cat outside while she's getting the mail, and then she kidnaps it.
Literally an identical plot to the monkey one. There's an animal that she takes.
Yep. And it is kind of, in a way, similar to, like, the Huey plots. It's like, she has a special friend that only she knows about. That's like her whole persona.
Yeah, I guess it's different from the monkey one that she kept trying to get everyone to see the monkey and they couldn't see it. This time she's trying to make them not see the cat.
Yeah. Or like with the orphan plot where they like trying to like take the orphan out.
That wasn't hiding
that
it
was
at
for
all.
Simon, though. Oh. Anyway, so that's happening. That sets the stage for this episode. And Lucy and Mary and Simon are coming back. And from outside, and they say that Lucy has gotten her driver's license, but she's too slow of a driver, and her picture on her license is terrible. That's going on with her.
It's better than my picture.
Mine is also pretty bad. Greg drove me to Georgetown to get mine renewed in the middle of the pandemic, and I just remember being very sweaty when this picture was taken.
It was hot then.
It was really hot.
When I went to Georgetown to get mine, wherever it was, I took like a fine one, and then she said I should smile and made me take another one, and the smiling one is so much worse than the one I had before.
Yeah, it's a bit rude, I think. Anyway, so while this is going on, Ruthie is very suspicious walking upstairs, and she has a cat in her backpack, and the cat leaps out of the backpack when she's in the stairs, and she picks it up and walks upstairs, and no one notices. Eric also comes home, and he's talking about he went to a doctor's appointment, and, like, all his heart attack stuff is good, all his numbers or whatever.
His good cholesterol is good, his good cholesterol is high, his bad cholesterol is low. It's where you want to be.
All right.
My problem is that I have high cholesterol of both. I've got a lot of good cholesterol and a lot of bad cholesterol.
Okay. I haven't been to a doctor in a long time, but they never said anything about my cholesterol. I don't think that's my main problem.
Well, you have to get tested for it. They can't just check it unless you're, like, getting your cholesterol tested. It's blood. It's a blood
thing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they must see something else on your chart. And then
they have to be looking for it.
Yeah. Well, as soon as Eric is saying how great he's feeling and how not stressed out he is, Aunt Julie shows up.
They ruined her character this episode.
I mean, she's always bad.
No, I liked drunk Julie. She was fun. This one's insufferable. Just awful.
Yeah, we'll get into it. This episode had some political issues. So Aunt Julie shows up. She's very pregnant. She's announcing that she is divorcing Hank, and Eric is just like, I'm not stressed. He's like repeating his little mantra about how he's calm and everything. Turns out she's a bitch now, for real. Yeah. And she says she only married Hank because she knew that Eric hated him. So.
Real mature.
Yeah. So now she doesn't want to be married to him.
She blames Eric for it not being a good decision because if Eric hadn't made such a big deal, she would have never married him.
Yeah, so Eric decides that he's going to sneak off to the hospital to talk to Hank about this whole situation. While that's going on, Lucy and Mary are like, hey, everyone's like distracted with Aunt Julie. Like, we can probably like plot to go out to eat and take the car and get away from here. And while they're talking about this, this boy, a new boy, Andrew, calls and he wants Lucy to pick him up for a date. Now she has her driver's license. And then, you know, a fight over the cars ensues. Mary, you know, wants to take out... she doesn't know what she wants to do.
Yeah,
she just knows she wants to get out of the house.
She wants...
And she wants
the
good car.
Yeah, she seemingly doesn't want Lucy to have what she needs.
Right. So she decides that her thing is going to be taking out Simon and Ruthie for dinner. That's her out-of-the-house maneuver. And
earlier in the episode, it was kind of noted that her and Simon are getting, like, more close. They were, like, messing around.
getting all buddy-buddy. Yeah, it's like the Matt-Mary relationship is kind of now the Simon-Mary relationship. So, Simon tells Mary that Eric took the minivan to go talk to Hank. So now Mary has to, like, go back downstairs and renegotiate the car situation because there's only one car there now or whatever. Anyway, Eric goes to the hospital. The cafeteria food does not look healthy. Like, Simon's like, maybe we can get a... Or he's like, maybe we can get a pizza. And Simon's like, that's not healthy. And then he goes to the cafeteria to get healthy food. It looks terrible. But he meets Matt in the cafeteria. He makes fun of Matt for wearing a hairnet. You know.
So, side point. Where do you think I could easily acquire just, like, one hairnet? Thomas was saying I should go to, like, the Safeway deli counter and ask them if I could, like...
Why do you need one hairnet?
Because it's a joke with Tina. Her hair falls out everywhere, so I want to get her a hairnet as a gift.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know where you would get a single hairnet.
I don't need a bunch of hairnets.
It's probably, like, gloves, like, sold in boxes, like, disposable hairnets, you know?
I guess I have to, like, order them on Amazon or something.
That's a lot to do for that bit. Okay.
How hard is it to order something on Amazon?
So, they're talking about now, Julie's problems with Hank, and all of her problems seem really dumb. The overarching theme of this show that women are crazy because they're hormonal when they're pregnant, and they really beat it into the ground, and it gets to a point where I think it's, like, very misogynistic. They're just like, women are always crazy and unreasonable, and, like, yeah, Julie is unreasonable. She's, like, an unreasonable caricature. Super unreasonable.
She's terrible.
But, like, what they're trying to say with that caricature is, like, this is how women get when they're pregnant, and, like, they're so annoying. And, like, that's the whole plot of the show. And it's just bizarre. So, anyway. Ruthie doesn't want to go to dinner with Mary and Simon, and she doesn't tell them this, but it's because of the secret cat in her room. She's like, I want to watch the twins. I'll stay here. And Mary's like, all right, whatever. I don't have to deal with you. But Happy knows something is up. Happy is outside the door, pawing at the door. Happy can smell the cat, surely.
What do you think Happy would do?
I think
if she got
sniff the cat and bark. I don't think Happy would kill the cat or anything.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking kill. The cat has some agency in this, too. Cats can protect themselves.
It's a little cat, though.
That claw. Also, it's not even that little. It doesn't even look like a kitten. It's a little big to be a fucking kitten.
Yeah.
It's like this big.
And maybe there's, like, you know how there's, like, baby rules for actors? Maybe there's, like, kitten rules.
But that was at least, like, a 7-month-year-old. Yeah. 7-month-old kitten.
So anyway, back on Lucy's date with Andrew. Andrew looked very familiar. I'm like, is this the kid from the OC? Like, the lead guy? He really looked like him to me. There's no way to know.
I'm a Laguna Beach guy. I have no idea what the OC.
But Andrew's dad is extremely uptight and, like, kind of rude to Lucy about taking out Andrew. So,
because they're switching the gender roles.
So, again, something I was trying to do some kind of sexism thing, and it is not working.
I thought that was my favorite plot, the whole Lucy one.
I mean, it is kind of silly to watch, but, like, it's also, like, not... doesn't make sense.
if
just because she's driving, the dad's gonna treat her like dads treat boyfriends.
No, maybe he also knows that he has an effeminate son, because this kid definitely expects to be pampered on this date.
But, I mean, what they're not acknowledging is that the reason that stereotype exists is because of, like, the omnipresent threat of, like, sexual assault, which is, like, a power imbalance.
Lucy could take him. Lucy could totally take this kid.
She is good at building houses and stuff.
That girl can swing a hammer.
Yeah. Well, Hank's supermodel patient is, it turns out, one of the central issues between Julie and Hank, the fact that he has attractive patients. And this also paints women in an insane light.
Does a hospital obstetrician even, like, have regular patients? Some of they only no. would only who goes to the hospital to see their gynecologist?
No, yeah.
It would just be someone who goes in for labor and then
basically what he says, like, when people have complications in their pregnancy, that's what kind of part of his script. So it's not he's just like, attractive women have complications too, is like something he said.
And then after they have the baby, he'll never see her again.
Yeah. I mean, that's completely crazy.
Jealousy in general is crazy.
I'm sure someone in the world has had a, like, OBGYN boyfriend and had this issue, but it's, I don't think most women have that thought, like, that it's, like, a sexy time to go to the kind of colleges, you
know. Well, not sexy, but more just, like, he meets a lot of women, but that's just TV. Like, TV always just, like, oh, I'm jealous because you're around any other woman at all.
Right, yeah. Anyhow, back to Julie and Annie talking at the house. So there's many, many scenes of Julie and Annie talking that basically go nowhere and are not worth going into. Trust me on that one. So now back on Lucy's date, they're going to the movies and they're kind of standing in front of the ticket counter and Lucy is expecting Andrew to pay for the tickets, but he, like, lets her do it and it's super awkward and then... Also, I don't know, it's just, like, a silly scene. Like, they're, like, paused in front of the ticket counter.
Well, yeah, because, like, gender roles, man.
Yeah.
I was also thinking just, like, picking the movie. Did they pick the movie yet? Was someone supposed to pick the movie and that's normally the guy or something?
Yeah. Who planned the movies to begin with, you know? Anyway, Mary and Simon are at the pool hall, because I guess... Now, I'm still confused, though, because Lucy took a car...
Lucy took the electric car.
Eric took a car.
Simon and Mary took Aunt Julie's car.
Oh, okay. That's where the third car is. All right, all right. So Mary and Simon are at the pool hall. Simon is, it turns out, only allowed to go out with Dina once a week because they got caught making out by Dina's dad. And for some reason, going out once a week stops people from making out.
No, like, it's not stop. It's more like he thinks they're going too fast, getting too serious. Oh, okay. So you gotta keep their time limited.
Hmm. And then, this was my favorite part of the episode. It was just so weird. Mary sees this girl across the pool hall, and she's pretty, like, weird looking, and, like, it's hard to explain. She seems creepy. And she comes up and introduces herself, and her name is Diane, and then she just, like, immediately starts hitting on Simon when she finds out that Simon is Mary's brother and not her boyfriend. And she looks 25. And they kind of imply she is 25. Like, Mary is, like, questioning her age.
She's only 15. Chill out.
Yeah. But, like, she wasn't 15. That's why Mary was like, you're not 15. I mean, she didn't say that, but that was, like, a look on her face. Anyhow.
Is Simon hot now? Is that what's supposed to be happening?
There is no way in hell a girl that looked like that would be hitting on Simon, a child.
I mean, just say she's pretty weird looking. Maybe she needs to.
Maybe. So back at the hospital, Eric and Hank are just still talking about how Julie sucks, and then they all decide to go out to dinner at the health food restaurant, whatever that
Hank
is.
Hank and Eric decide to go out there, and Matt weasels his way into an invite.
Yeah. So this is now only, like, the fourth restaurant we've seen in this history.
No, it's the same. It's literally the same restaurant as the Death Place.
There's no way,
yes,
is it? Is.
Yes. They show an outsides.
Oh, I'm talking about the inside.
I think it's the same. Just in,
but the Death restaurant was, like, white, and this one was, like dark wood paneling.
They can paint. Doesn't mean it's not the same.
It's
restaurant.
Probably the same soundstage. I'll give you that.
And they showed the same outside, so it's the same restaurant.
But in the show, it's not the same restaurant.
No one. There were no waiters.
Maybe the Death Cafe closed, and then they moved in the health food.
No one served any food on camera, so nothing says the waiters weren't deaf.
Okay. True. Maybe they, like, decided to rebrand as a health restaurant.
It probably already was healthy.
Oh,
I mean, being deaf has nothing to do with the food you serve.
But it was like a kids' hangout, and they had hamburgers in the other one.
Healthy hamburgers.
Okay. Anyway, so they're out to dinner. Annie sees that Happy is scratching at the door of Ruthie's bedroom, and she suspects things, but she hasn't quite figured it out yet. Then Julie goes into labor. Annie, like, tries to get a hold of them at the hospital, and they keep paging over the intercom to find them, but they're all at the health food restaurant now, and we find out Hank forgot his pager, so there's, like, no way to reach them. So Annie's having to deal with Julie by herself, and Julie doesn't want to go to the hospital because she doesn't want people to find out that she doesn't know where Hank is. It's, like, a weird... Like, just don't talk to anyone. Julie decides that she's not in labor anymore, and then she wants to go to the movies all of a sudden, but turns out she was still in labor, and then she's, like, starts rambling about the supermodel patient again. You just have to watch it to understand this one. So they're waiting for Mary and Simon to bring the car home, because now there's no car for Annie to drive Julie to the hospital. Another word problem situation we have on our hands here. But they also, like, can't get a hold of Mary and Simon. Eventually they do by calling the pool hall.
But then they call the pool hall for Eric. And right. just Mary overhears that there's a call for Reverend Camden.
Which, how would you hear in a crowded bar?
All right. She was trying to do anything, trying to listen to anything but this 25-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grooming her younger
They're
brother.
They're still caught up in that Diane situation. And then Dina and her dad show up at the pool.
While Simon has his hands all over her, trying to show her how to shoot pool.
Yeah, and then Simon...
What are you doing, dude?
Shortly thereafter has a terrible Freudian slip where he introduces Diane as his girlfriend to Dina. So he's in the doghouse. Then the men are still at the health food restaurant finishing up dinner, more ranting about how women suck. And then Matt says, I want to have a baby with Shauna.
Oh.
That came out of left field. Oh, there's another thing with Matt that I accidentally skipped over. When they were talking about the supermodel patient, he was the creepiest has ever been about how he wanted to sit in on this woman's C-section to, like, look at her. Yeah. Jesus Christ, Matt. And then Eric just kept slapping him in the forehead.
Well, both Hank and Eric slapped him. Yeah. Hank slapped him first.
Jesus. All right, so back at the hospital, they keep doing pages, and then people are getting mad at the paging. And
the old guy was going to pay the woman $20 to not page anymore. Yeah.
Ruthie comes downstairs and shows Julie the cat, and she has a scheme that makes no sense for Julie to, when she yelps out in pain, sound more like a cat. So when people hear the real cat, they'll think it's just Julie. And she practices her meowching. This show is so out of control sometimes. Simon is trying to patch things up with Dina, and while he's doing that, the dad is talking to Mary, which also is a bit weird. This is when Annie calls the pool hall. She's totally losing it. They overhear. They can come back with the car. Lucy's still on her date. She has to open the door to the car for the date because he won't get out by himself unless he has the car door open for him. He's super weird. But, like, they do start kissing and she does seem to like that. He kissed her, she didn't kiss him. I think she liked that he finally took initiative.
Yeah.
But as soon as they start kissing, the overbearing dad comes out. Yep, of course. And then they start yelling at him. And then the guys in the health food restaurant finally get the message, and an ambulance is on the way to the house to pick up Julie. Julie tells Hank to get out when Hank shows up, even though she just said 30 seconds earlier she wanted to see him. And Hank is really nice, and he reassures Julie that everything's okay.
Hank's so much better than her.
Yeah. And outside of the bedroom, Eric and Annie are having a moment about loving each other and all that. And then the doorbell rings, and it's not the ambulance, as you might have suspected. And, like, they're in the middle of this whole shenanigans of, like, a woman giving birth upstairs, and then, like, the neighbors come over, and Annie's like, oh, come on in.
Like, who the fuck are you?
Like, what? And it's a neighbor we've never seen before, and it's a mother and son, and it turns out that they lost their kitten. And Annie immediately knows who has the kitten. So she calls Ruthie down. Ruthie has the cat with her when she gets called down, which was not her smartest move. It's like in her backpack when she comes down the stairs. And they basically force it out of her that there's a kitten in the backpack. And plot twist.
I think the cat starts making noise or something.
Yeah. The kitten is named Norton.
That was a pretty good cat name.
Yeah. The little boy's like, Norton!
Oh, it was very
cute.
And
the moms are like, Norton!
His mom must have known his name is Norton.
And apparently he was a big fan of the Honeymooners, and that's why this small child named his cat after a 50s sitcom character.
The one with the, like, wait, well, Archie Bunker is the one.
No, that's a 70s one. It's earlier than that.
Oh, okay.
It's the one with, like, the moon face.
It's
a similar thing. It's like a belligerent dad. It's
it says, like, I'm gonna punch you to the moon or something.
Yeah, that guy.
Just abuse.
Yeah. So, the mother of the kitten boy is really nice and gives Ruthie $20 for a finder's fee, I guess, even though she didn't willingly give up the kitten.
Yeah, she will have kept it forever.
And then the birth is still happening. It's in the house. The ambulance never shows up.
Turns out all you need is just one person looking at a vagina to make a birth happen.
Yeah, I guess. Let's see. Lucy gets home and she complains about Andrew. And Simon and Matt are like, yeah, now you know how it feels to be treated like us. Simon wants to get dropped off at Dina's to continue apologizing, I guess. And then the other kids are going to get ice cream on the way to drop him off. So when Eric and Andy come downstairs to like be like, the baby was born, no one's there, but they're like, that's okay, we're excited by ourselves. And they're excited to be aunt and uncle now. And then Hank and Julie are upstairs, and they're deciding what to name the baby, and they name it Erica after both Eric and Annie, which is way too wholesome and way too cheesy.
Where's Annie in that at all?
Just as there's an A at the end.
I thought that was just female Eric.
Yeah, exactly. And then
they should have named it Erican.
What? That's a terrible name.
If it's good, if that method of naming is good Renesmee. Enough for Bella, yeah.
And then, of course, Eric and Annie joke about how now they need to get a new bed because, I guess, Julie's fluids are all over their bed, which is a gross joke to make, but they make
it. You can even keep the bed frame.
Yeah. And then the episode ends.
They're like, we should give Julie the bed. Like, I don't think she wants a bed that has her fluids in it either.
Yeah. They should have put down a tarp. Okay. What is your rating?
Who has tarps?
Women that have sex on their periods. Or a towel, at least. They should have put a towel, at least. All right, anyway. This is veering off into a gross territory. What would you rate this episode?
7.5. I liked it. It moved along.
I gave it a 6.5. Did you have any plot twists for this one?
They're called plot remixes, Morgan. Sorry.
Plot remixes.
God, you've been way too long.
Yeah.
I just like the Lucy plot the best, so just more of switching the gender roles, I think, would have just been a fun romp. Maybe show more in the movie theater itself, seats or whatever. And, ooh, if anything, it's like, show Lucy leaning into, like, being the guy in this, and maybe she takes it too far and makes the boy really uncomfortable or something like that. I don't know. Maybe she gets too handsy.
I want more of this Diane maniac. What's going on there?
Well, yeah, then let's have more of both of those, and it's like, let's get rid of babies entirely.
No, we don't care about babies. An
episode about weird dating.
The show is nothing but babies. Although the twins weren't in this one, which I appreciate.
They were a little bit. Ruthie was showing them the cat.
Mm.
I really hope this Erica is not going to be in this show at all.
Lord help us! Like, I did not
they seem to live in baby. the same town, but the fact that Julie showed up was really alarming. So I don't think they hang out very much.
I don't know. All right, well, it's time to move on to the summary for next week. This is season 4, episode 7. The name of this episode is Sin...
Oh.
Simon is in absurd trouble just because his mother and the principal make a huge drama of a finger gesture among schoolboys. Is it just the middle finger?
I don't know.
What else could he be doing? Matt tries to explain, but Simon feels he's robbed of another part of his childish innocence. Matt wrestles with domestic problems among his roommates and considers moving back home.
He only has one roommate.
I know. On account of Eric's cardiac condition, Matt, don't move back home. Basketball coach Jason Cleary decides the girls' continuing grade slip warrants drastic action, a team lockout, which makes the local TV news and, because of official secrecy, starts a rumor circuit.
Is that the movie Coach Carter, where he also locked them out of the gym until they got their grades up?
Oh, I haven't seen that. I wasn't familiar with this concept of a lockout.
I've only seen it in this movie, but the news also got involved once this happened.
There are 2 user reviews.
Oh, boy.
Wow, this one has a... Okay, so the first one we're going to do is Studio AT, of course. Studio AT gave this a 5 out of 10. This episode appears on a few of the, quote, worst of Seventh Heaven ever list. Oh, boy. And while it does see a few of the characters acting out of character, they are teenagers, and that's what teenagers do. Act out of character.
They act not like themselves.
Annie's reaction did seem a bit extreme, though. Good overall, period. All right.
This one gave a 5?
5, yeah.
Because it's good.
All right. This other person, who's named Carrie Comic...
When was it written?
December 18th, 2021. 1 out of 10. Oof. The most unrealistic episode of the entire series. This is a spoiler warning, kids, so if you don't want to know what happens, just listen next week. Not because of what happens to Mary and her basketball teammates when they get caught in the act of vandalizing the high school gym. They're getting arrested by the cops, and the consequences they suffer in juvenile court are totally believable in that respect. What I'm talking about was the plot device used by writers Hampton, Olsen, and Lepard to lead up to that point.
I'm gonna say Hampton.
Wow, this person is bringing names and receipts.
Hampton et al.
Namely, the girls' coach canceling the rest of the basketball season because of the whole team's bad grades.
That's literally what happens in Coach Carter.
Yeah, well, this came out in 99. When was Coach Carter?
I'll look it up. You keep talking.
Was that the writer's way of subtly suggesting that should be the actual remedy for similar situations in real life? Because I can tell you for a fact that would never happen.
We got a girls' basketball. Coach Carter's 2005.
Oh, it might begrudgingly tolerated for a minor sport like girls' basketball, but no way would that ever be allowed to happen to a boys' basketball team. And that goes double for a high school football team. I have a feeling this is a high school football team.
It's also like unrelated. Then what does it matter? Then they're two different scenarios.
Football and boys basketball are the top money makers when it comes to high school sports.
But there wasn't a boys team involved in this. Who gives a shit?
And the coach who dared to try it, canceling either of those seasons in real life, would more likely get fired by unanimous decision of the principal, the school board, and the alumni association faster than you can say New York Minute. In short, with writing like this, I'm unpleasantly surprised the series lasted 6 more seasons after this.
I think it was more than that. We're in season 4. But
it's 11, so yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this person has a personal connection to a similar plot in their real life that they're really upset about.
Well, also, the effect, the community involvement and whether people would care as much really depends on, like, what state you're in, too. Right.
No one gives a shit about high school football.
Yeah, like, that's not a money maker.
No, we're terrible at it. Anyway. All right, that was this week's episode. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with whatever that was.
I'm kind of excited now.
All right. See you later.